Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit." We abide in Christ through baptism. There is nothing that we need to do. We abide in the sense of remaining with Christ or continuing with Christ. We sojourn with Christ through our lives on this earth. Prayer and spiritual practices help us to connect with what is already true. The gospel reading is less about what we need to do and more about opening ourselves to receive this grace, more about engaging our imaginations to consider the fruit that we bear because of our relationship with God. Our Christian faith focuses us on relationships. We hear that in the other readings for today as well. From Acts, we hear about the teaching mission of the church that brings people to greater understanding and a desire to be part of this great adventure that we call the Christian journey. In our reading from the first letter of John, we hear, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. We abide in God, and God in us." The Christian faith is an experience of being in relationship to God, to each other, to our wider world. The church helps, provides ways of experiencing these relationships. And love is what binds us all together. God's love that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Given to us already, not earned or worked for, but given. Love given out of love. That love and connection is described in John's Gospel as the vine and the branches. Living in a culture based on agriculture, the use of images from nature, from God's creation, they were used so often by those whose stories fill the Bible. "I am the vine, you are the branches. See the fruit that this relationship produces." During Lent, I spoke frequently of that season of Lent being a time for the seeds of grace God plants in us to germinate and sprout. We can also think of ourselves as seeds that germinate and sprout new growth. And to carry that idea farther, we now see much growth during this season of resurrection as we continue to grow in the brightness of the light given by Christ's resurrection. Imagine the growth you see in your life as the fullness of Christ's resurrection fuels and nurtures such growth. Imagine the growth that you would like to see and know that God supports you in pursuing it. We are in this Easter season. Listen to the words we use to describe time, seasons. By which we mean liturgical seasons, but when we hear that word outside of the church context, we may think of agricultural seasons. And then there are the seasons of our lives, of which there are many, for we humans grow and change. Joan Chittister, a Roman Catholic nun, in her essay, Seeds of a New Humanity, in the book Sacred Seed, writes, "We ourselves are all seeds. We are either seeds of universal love or seeds of exploitive racism. We are seeds of eternal hope or we are seeds of starving despair. We are seeds of a new humanity or we are harbingers of humanity's decay." The world needs us to be seeds of love and hope for a new humanity, and our relationship to Christ makes that very, very possible. This book, Sacred Seed, is specifically about caring for and appreciating actual seeds. And a number of people from different faith traditions write about the matter, showing its spiritual significance. In that vein, speaking of people, speaking of us, who can be seeds of hope or seeds of despair, Chittister writes, it is a choice. And I would agree, it is a choice. We don't have to work to be able to do it, but there may be times when we have to choose hope over despair many times. There may be times when we need to choose being light in the world rather than contributing to the darkness of racism or exploitation of anyone in any other way. She says this choice is a conscious choice that depends on how we see seeds, back to the actual seed again, how we treat them, and whose we think they are, and what we will do to keep them free and available. There's an issue about this in the world today. This is so important for seeds that grow our food, and also for the seeds of grace that grow God's love in the world through us. In caring for the creation, in the love we have for the earth and for those who live on the earth, and for the animals that live on the earth, all of life, we are sacred seeds, as our gospel reading makes clear, that these seeds of ours, the branch, the seeds, our growth, is a creative expression, fed and supported by our connection with God. And for those on the Christian journey, specifically with Christ, it was Jesus who was the seed. The seed that became the vine that nourishes the branches. This is our church season of resurrection, when we are encouraged to look for signs of resurrection all around us and to be people of resurrection, people who are about the growth and new birth rather than the death and destruction. The seeds of resurrection can appear to be destroyed, as everyone thought Jesus was dead, that the movement of Jesus was dead and gone. I found this great description of what happens to a seed on Facebook, of all places. Can find some good things there. For me, this speaks of the resurrection of Jesus and also the resurrections that happen in our lives, both great and small. It states, for a seed to achieve its greatest expression, it must come completely undone. The shell cracks, its insides come out, and everything changes. To someone who doesn't understand growth, it would look like complete destruction. I think that describes resurrection well. And the new growth that comes in our lives when we least expect it. And we're not in this resurrection business alone, this being about resurrection, this way of being in the world, this way of looking at things and circumstances that comes from deep connection. Our groundedness in God and the community of the church helps us see from the resurrection perspective. In another of Joan Chittister's writings entitled Living in God, found in her book on prayer, The Breath of the Soul, she writes, prayer concentrates the mind and enlarges the soul. It takes us both more into ourselves and out of ourselves at the same time. By calling us to a view of life larger than the present ever can, it deepens the meaning of both the material and the spiritual. It makes them consciously one for us in a world that insists on seeing them as separate. It is in that unity that God exists in us and we in God. Prayer, sensing that spiritual life, can happen anywhere, anytime, but certainly here and now. We gather in community to pray. We are participating in the life of God and in our own lives with a view larger than the present may initially present, bringing to mind and heart and spirit that God exists in us and we in God. What we experience here in church causes me to think about what we've been learning in the Episcopal 101 class meeting on Wednesday nights. We've been using an online resource called Church Next, which offers hundreds of different courses on most aspects of our church and our faith. Frank Wade, some of you may know him from the Alban Institute, priest and educator, is the teacher and speaker of the course entitled The Episcopal Tradition. Part of our tradition, he's telling us in this teaching, is how we see ourselves as the church, how we understand the church. Wade asks, what does the church think it's doing? What does the church think it is about? He goes on, our view is that the church is under us, holds us up and guides and informs us. Wade states that this is different from many other denominations or churches that think the church's role is to be over top and that understandings come down. Rather, we believe that the church's role is to empower and enable Christians for life. As I was thinking about this, the role of the church and the way he describes it and trying to relate it to the seed and the vine and the branches, right? There's a lot going on there. I thought, so does this mean the church is the fertilizer? It just might. Through our prayer here today, we are reminded and strengthened in our knowledge that Christ is the vine and we are the branches. And that through the strength of God's love for us, God's relationship with us, we are able to produce fruit, do good works, care for each other, the creation, the wider world. And I'll conclude with a prayer. Let us pray. Wondrous vine grower, you make all things new in water and the word. Feed your people with love, joy, and peace. Lead us today and every day to the font of new beginnings. Teach us to love what you have commanded and to prune what does not nourish your creation. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, one God, now and forever. Amen.